Good afternoon. This is the operator. Welcome to the presentation of the first half 2019-2020 results of Unieuro. All the participants can just listen to the presentation. After the initial presentation, you will have the chance of asking questions. If you need assistance from the operator during the conference call, please dial asterisk plus zero. Now I would like to hand over to Mr. Giancarlo Nicosanti, the CEO of Unieuro.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining our conference call to present the first half results of Unieuro. With me, Italo Valenti, CFO of the company, and in conference call, Bruno Olivieri, Chief Channel Operator, and Luigi Fusco, COO. I'd like to start pointing out that the first half of the financial year is of pivotal importance because it points out the soundness of the company and the competitive scenario in general. It is not significant from the viewpoint of margins due to the low level of revenues that can hardly absorb overheads. It is therefore typically a transition semester in view of the real game that is played during the peak season with important initiatives, that is the Black Friday initiative and Christmas. This transition semester closed very positively with revenues that for the first time ever exceeded 1 billion euros and positive operating KPIs. In particular, the Net Promoter Score increased further, highlighting greater satisfaction, customer satisfaction, and the number of active loyalty card owners, UniEuro Club, in the last 12 months exceeded the 2 million threshold. As far as the profitability is concerned, Unieuro recorded an adjusted EBITDA of +16% and an adjusted net income that tripled, as well as a net debt that has increased on a year-on-year basis. Let me give you an overview of the market trends. On slide number six, you can see again how Unieuro outperformed the market, also thanks to the external growth initiatives. A market that, according to GfK data, closed the first half with a slight decrease, -0.8%, due to the offline channel that recorded a -3.5% due to the drop in the electrical specialist segment. These are basically medium to small surface areas that were penalized in the telephony segment due to the web channel, which is dominated by tech superstores and mass merchandisers that closed the first half with growing numbers. In terms of the web channel, the online channel increased by 15.9% with a total penetration of 16%. If we consider only the consumer segment, according to GfK data, Unieuro grew on both channels, in particular in the offline channel with a +20%, and online, the unieuro.it platform standalone performed in line with the rest of the market. In terms of product category, the growth of the market in the white segment can be pointed out, +8.3%, driven by all the components, but especially by air conditioning. Unieuro outperformed the market with a +28% offline and +17% online, consistently with our strategy that focuses on high margin categories. We grew our market share also in gray and brown segments, where the market instead performed negatively, in particular in the brown segment that can be compared with a very strong first half 2018-2019 due to the World Cup. On page number seven, let's focus on all the Unieuro channels, and you see that the first half turnover grew by 16.6% to 1.06 billion euros. This is the first time in our history that we exceed 1 billion euro in terms of revenue in the first half. And this was due to the expansion of our scope, in particular thanks to the acquisitions of former Pistone Galimberti and DPS stores, thanks to the positive like-for-like growth, also only if we consider the offline channel, and the growth in the indirect channel, thanks to the partnership with Finiper, which is leading to the expected results. If we consider the breakdown of the channels on page 8, we can see that thanks to M&A, the retail business has increased its impact by 1%, reaching 71.3%. The online business has continued to grow double-digit, and we expect a further growth in the second half. Even better was the indirect channel, plus 25%, with the opening of shop-in-shop corners in the hypermarket, Hyper, that offset the streamlining in the affiliate networks, also due to the expansion of direct stores in Sicily. The travel business benefited from the opening of Milan San Babila and the very good performance of Turin Porta Nuova. But we have to clarify the negative performance in the B2B segment that was impacted by the change in strategy by some suppliers and customers. In particular, the telecom operator, Monclick, that decided to stop the sale of TV sets to be paid by installment in the telephone bill. On page 9, you see the breakdown of the product category. You see the growth of Only You in the white segment, thanks to the Pistone deal and to the growing success of cordless vacuum cleaners. The product category increased by 2.6% in terms of sale to 28.9%. Important growth rates were recorded also in the gray segment, plus 15%, thanks to the product mix and IT, and also products that do not belong to the consumer electronics, plus 15%, where cooking and luggage products are recording great success. A modest but, however, positive growth can be seen in the brown segment as well, that is penalized by the very challenging comparison that we mentioned before and the reduction in the B2B sales. Very good performance in the field of the services, plus 24%, again thanks to the extended warranty and consumer credits. Although the other services offered are also increasing. On page number 11, we can say that the revenue results that we have just commented on are the outcome of a strategy that we started since we've gone public in 2017, and which is based on the three pillars that you see on page number 11. In this first half of 2019 and 20, we have significantly increased the physical proximity to our customers by opening 21 new stores in total, without considering the closures. As you know, we opened in Sicily, where we are now managing 15 directly operated stores, the 12 former Pistone Expert stores, plus Gela and Catania Mr. Bianco, and the sales outlet in Ragusa. The shop-in-shop network, Unieuro by Hyper, is now running at full pace and has reached 20 points of sale, 18 affiliates and 2 DOS. As far as the experience is concerned, we've worked on customer satisfaction throughout all the channels with an increase in the NPS that has reached 45.7, growing by 1.9 points. In order to further improve the retail mix, we have launched new services, among which Casa Sicura Multiplan, that guarantees super premium assistance offered by Unieuro on all domestic appliances, even if they were not bought at Unieuro. And we have also offered successfully another service, which is called Helpy, which is a sort of digital assistant at home, a sort of technician that will configure smart TVs, digital assistants, home automation systems, and any device that needs to be configured. But today we would like to give you an overview on another pillar that is of paramount importance both now and in the future, which is private label. Since the 1990s, UniEuro has launched a private label that we called Electroline and that used to brand small domestic appliances, initially only fans, in the low entry price business. And afterwards, new products were added, large domestic appliances such as fridges and air conditioners, with the same logic, that is, we import directly from China and Turkey, and we guarantee post-sale assistance, after-sales assistance through intermediaries. We are now working in view of a major turnaround and evolution of Electroline in order to give it a more significant role and to increase revenues. Together with a new logo, which will be more modern and cooler, starting from 2020, we will also extend the product range to washing machines, thus fulfilling customer needs. At the same time, even though the entry level will still be our focus, Electroline will expand to the medium range of the market thanks to a greater product mix and thanks to a new contemporary and design-oriented packaging and also a targeted marketing activity both within and outside of the point of sale, which is now absent. At the same time, new private labels will be developed specifically for luggage and for domestic appliances, and we are already using e-bikes for electric mobility, and this is in order to better control specific segments that are not directly linked to domestic appliances. Our goal is to focus on private labels and combined with branded products such as Ignis and Hitachi, and with exclusive products, for example, Sony and Samsung, and to bring this mix to 8-10% of the revenues in 3 years' time compared to 4% right now in order to better protect the margins. And let me hand over to Italo.
Thank you very much, Giancarlo. Good afternoon. I would like to start with slide number 14, reporting the main, the key financials. However, I would like to point out, first and foremost, that the figures I'm going to comment on refer to figures before the application of the IFRS 16 standards to follow up with the approach used in the past. We have already commented on the performance of our revenues, but I would like to stress the very good like-for-like performance, including the fully operative shops and e-commerce. It grew by 3% in the first year off and by 4% if we consider the cannibalization that inevitably happens when the network grows. The adjusted EBITDA grew by 15.6% to 18 million euros and it still accounts for 1.7% of total revenues. In a minute, we're going to see how this result was achieved. The adjusted net income grew to 1.5 million. This is a figure that is not really meaningful because of the seasonal nature of our business and definitely is not suggestive of the full year result. This is borne out by a positive adjusted net margin of 0.1 percentage point when it was 2% for the full year 2018-2019. On the following page, you see some key financials, starting with net debt, that compared with the figure at the 28th of February 2019, was impacted by the cash absorption that is typical in our business, as well as by the acquisition of the former Pistone assets that were concentrated in the Carini Retail subsidiary and the dividend payout. However, it improved by nearly 6 million vis-à-vis 31st of August 2018. The adjusted levered free cash flow was fairly flat compared with the same period last year, despite a greater investment or greater capex for the acquisitions of working capital, as net debt suffered from the impact of seasonality, but improved year-on-year to 215 million, therefore contributing to financing the growth of our business. On page 6, I would like to draw your attention to sales density figures that improved by 3 percentage points thanks to the extension of the business scope to the stores acquired recently in Sicily, that stores that are highly performing. The acquisition of the Sicilian stores impacted on the total sales surface area that increased by 22,000 square meters and by and on the number of the headcount that increased from 4,400 full-time equivalent to 5,000. On page 17, you see the breakdown and the evolution of the EBITDA, the adjusted EBITDA semester on semester. The higher gross profit generated by higher sales is accompanied by growing costs. However, what is relevant here is the incidence of costs on total sales, which is dropping in terms of personnel cost, down 0.3 percentage point, lease rate down 0.3 percentage point, and marketing costs down by 0.2 percentage point, as well as the general sales costs. This reduction in cost has partially offset the drop in minor gross margin that dropped by 0.4 percentage point vis-a-vis the first year of 2018-2019. However, I would like to point out that it's back to the same levels of 2017-2018. We reported a growth of logistic costs, and which we have been monitoring closely, following the growth of the sales of volumes, particularly of large appliances, and the growth of the cost of for home deliveries. Besides the temporary effect of the new logistic platform of Carini that is becoming fully operative. In terms of adjustments, there's nothing I would like to point out in particular. Simply the following I would like to mention. The M&A adjustments reached 3 million, and they all refer to the quick integration of the Pistone acquisition and the operation of the secondary logistic hub, and then Pistone acquisition contributed to a slight increase of the adjustment concerning the new business model that was adopted starting the 1st of March. On page 19, you see the evolution of the net income adjusted that shows the increase of the EBITDA and of amortizations as a consequence of the growing investment made so far, as well as the acquisition of the Pistone assets. On page 20, we already mentioned the evolution of net debt, and therefore I confine myself to highlighting the evolution of CAPEX that you see reported in the top of the slide on the right. Compared with the first year after last year, total CAPEX dropped by 4 million, despite the acquisition of Pistone absorbed most of the 3.8 million extraordinary CAPEX reported in this year after. And finally, I would like to mention the impact of the new IFRS 16 standard on the main KPIs of the Unieuro. As you know, the new accounting principle implies that non-financial activity and the right of use on third parties' assets have to be reported in the P&L, and the relevant liabilities have to be reported too. This is why the net debt increases by 454.6 million to 504 million. At the same time, the lease rate and the rents are no longer reported in the P&L, and this has an impact on the EBITDA that increases by 33.1 million. The impact on the half-year net income is even more complex to explain because we have to consider that the EBITDA evolution is accompanied by the evolution of the financial charges that increased as a consequence of the increase of liabilities reported in the P&L. But the net tax effect leads to a drop in the net income by 2.5 million. So I hand you over to our CEO again. In conclusion, I would like to have a look at what is in store for us. The first year after was positive and satisfactory for us, but we're looking forward to the peak season. This is forthcoming. We expect a strong competition in November with Black Friday that attracts the technology consumers in a growing manner. But again, this year we have a planned commercial strategy and highly competitive promotions for our clients to safeguard our gross margin. The new 14 stores in Sicily will definitely contribute positively to the next forthcoming season. They will be contributing to the domestic marketing campaign that is again forthcoming and that will certainly lead us to reach record sales. Our pipeline is, however, not empty. It has been filled with additional opportunities for further M&As that will be reported in due time. Before starting the Q&A session, however, I would like to talk about an initiative that is very dear to my heart, and for the first time, Unieuro sells technologies that have changed and still change the life of people that, however, when are inappropriately used, may cause suffering. The fight against cyberbullying involves us and is very dear to our hearts. This is why in 2016 we launched a very important initiative with the Italian police force to increase the awareness of students and youngsters about the use of smartphone and tablet. In November, the fourth season of the Cuori Connessi initiative will start again. Unieuro and policemen will travel Italy and meet young people. And so far, we have reached 40,000 young people with our initiative. And we'll be updating you about the future of this initiative and how it develops. This is the Coast Call operator. We're now going to start the Q&A session. Participants wishing to ask questions, press star followed by one on their keypads. To leave the waiting list, press star followed by two. Please ask your questions using the headset. Participants are wishing to ask questions now, press star followed by one. The first question by Niccolò Stora, Kepler Cheuvreux. Good afternoon. I've got three questions for you. First refers to market trend. According to the ISTAT data, in August, the industry suffered a major slowdown. I would like to know whether this was whether this impacted on your results and whether the same trend was observed in the following months as well, or whether you are back to normal. Then second question about your facts and figures, particularly figures of Q2. Your gross margin dropped further. I would like to understand why. Assuming that the promotional initiatives you launched in Sicily had already come to an end, And then the third question about the growth of the online business that in Q2 grew by 10%. Is it slowing down? Is the growth of the online business slowing down, or do you expect it growing substantially as it did in the past? Well, about the first question, I'll answer your first question, and Bruno will answer the third question, and I'll share the answer with Italo for your second question. So, as you said correctly, August was unexpectedly a bad month. We didn't expect such a slowdown. However, I must point out that in the previous 5 months, our business grew as expected. As for September and October, I can say we are back to normal. During this year, we expected the market growing slightly, and this is exactly what we have been witnessing. September and October too are back to growing again. As for margins, I ask Italo to take your question. Well, I briefly mentioned this in my introduction. Gross margin is down by 0.4% in the first year after compared with the, I mean, both in the first year after and in the past quarter. The drop of gross margin in the first year after was mainly due to the relaunch of the newly acquired stores in Sicily. As you know, whenever we make an acquisition, the promotional activity becomes more intense. I might say that in the second quarter, we didn't witness any criticality. We observed a slight decrease of gross margin, which, however, doesn't suggest any specific issue. It's just the result of competition as usual, as well as the mix that developed in the recent months. If you have a look at 2 years ago, you see that we are back to the same levels of gross margin that we reported 2 years ago. So this is not a structural problem, in other words. And about the third question, I can answer. We are far from reaching the full potential. The result of the full year after, and particularly Q2, was well expected in view of the forthcoming very aggressive promotional campaign. So, and the results of the months of September and October greatly or substantially exceed the result reported in Q2. So we expected the online channel to grow by 16.5%. When I say the web channel, I mean Unieuro.com. As for Moncler, we are well on track, so we are in line with our budget target. So I think it's fair to say that the online channel is well on track and will certainly outperform the market by 3-7 percentage points for the full year. Thank you very much. Next question. Alessandro Tortora, Mediobanca.
Hello, good afternoon. I also have three questions. Well, let me formulate questions in a more positive manner. The first question is whether you can give us an update on the competitive market scenario. We can read some press articles stating that some buying groups may take some measures and make some moves. So I'd like to know from you how you see the competition for UniEuro for the next, for the forthcoming quarters. The second question is about the integration of Pistone. Is it going forward as expected? Because I saw the previous comment where you said that the gross market was margin was impacted by the relaunch of these stores. Can you confirm that Pistone and Pistone's margins are in line with the expectations? And can you say that starting from next year, Pistone stores can get closer to the group margins? And the third question is about, well, it's rather an accounting issue. So from a tax viewpoint, as you haven't paid taxes for the first half, are you going to use any particular items in order to streamline your tax position so that you can avoid paying taxes for the second year and a half as well? Okay, let me answer the first question. I guess that the current market scenario is characterized by the shift from players moving from one buying group to another, from Trony to Euronix, and the two buying groups may merge, and Euronix accepting within its group two new members that are not going to use the Euronix brand, and this contradicts the 30-year track record that they've had in Italy and in Europe. Well, these are all signs that testify the crisis that buying groups are going through. Undoubtedly, I think, as you may remember, we have told this since the very beginning when we decided to go public and about our corporate strategy. We kept on saying that this is a market that has to be concentrated and has to move towards greater concentration managed by UniEuro, and this is what has been happening in the past couple of years. As we acquired some members of the buying groups, we started with Trony, and then we moved on with Euronix. In March this year, we acquired the most important members in Expert, and so they're losing revenues, so they're losing local presence, and this, of course, goes to the detriment of their physical presence in Italy. But then, of course, there may be some local situations that are very strong and that we fully respect, because there are stores that at a local level can certainly achieve very good results for their companies. However, these movements and these shifts and transfers of members between and among buying groups is a proof of the crisis they are going through, especially in a moment when Amazon is still growing. UniEuro, as shown by our results, is performing well, although the market has dropped, but we've grown a lot, 16, 17, 18% in some sectors and channels, and I think this is an above-average growth. And by the way, we also recorded a growth on a like-for-like basis, and this is even more significant. And this is, for us, a proof that testifies the soundness of our strategy and that proves that our strategy is correct. I do not think that the movement of members between buying groups may lead to a change in the competitive scenario. As far as the question about the Pistone's integration is concerned, well, this started in March of this fiscal year, and as we've always said, the first 12 to 18 months are necessary for integrating a new structure and are needed in order to control the area, to disseminate a new brand and the value of a new brand, because in Sicily, our brand was not very present. We just had some 3 stores and some affiliates, so we were not as present as we should be for a brand like UniEuro in every Italian region. So we expect this year Pistone will contribute a lot to our revenues, and we are also expecting an impact on the EBITDA, but starting from next year. At the end of the year, we will define the 2020-2021 budget, but for sure, Pistone will provide a great contribution. In the first months of this year, as Italo said, and as it has been the case for all our acquisitions, we have to focus on promotional activities, and this, of course, mitigates margins and reduces the margins. We were not expecting a lot for this first half, and I'm not expecting a lot for the second half of the year as well, but starting from 2020-2021, I certainly expect a much greater contribution that can become significant also from the side of Pistone stores. Thank you. Then coming to the fiscal issue, well, I'm referring to slide number 20, where you see the cash flow, and you see that in the first half, we did not pay any taxes. In terms of outlays, so payment is due in September, and then there will be a balance in the following months. But this is only related to the tax base of the previous financial year. And for your information, we pay taxes only on 20% of the tax base. So 24% of IRES on 20% only, because for 80% we have previous losses, so we don't have to pay pay taxes. A part has already been paid, but well, we are talking about a couple of millions of euros, let's say, for the year. Thank you. And if I may, I forgot to ask you another question. Considering the franchisees' performance, which is dropping, well, is it due, and may it be due to the fact that they are no longer the core business as they used to be in the past, or does this reflect the scenario that you just depicted, that is the difficulties on the market? I just would like to know up to which extent this traditional segment is still strategic for you. Well, I can confirm what you said, more or less, because clearly enough, as soon as we expand our store network, well, physiologically, if I open 14 new stores in Sicily in 6 months, it is rather physiological that you lose some affiliates, some franchisees. But this is foreseen, this is voluntary, because if we have to choose between a sales outlet or a franchisee, as soon as we realize that that area can provide a good contribution for our revenues, we focus on the directly operated store rather than on the franchisee. That's clear. So as long as we open new stores in areas that we're not present today, well, the number of franchisees will decrease. And then there is also another structural aspect. As we said before, if the members of the buying groups are suffering, well, also smaller operators, smaller players tend to suffer, because they may have lower economies of scale and lower costs, but also lower volumes. So it's a combination of the two aspects. Honestly speaking, This is a channel that is important for us and that we have been focusing on since the very beginning, since SGM, and we've always protected the franchisee network. But then, now there is a sort of physiological turnover for the small, medium-sized stores, and well, there are certainly franchisees that within the framework of Only Euro can reach a positive P&L, and there are many today, but there are also other stores that due to their age may decide to leave the business. Well, this also happens. And, well, it is not so frequent, but clearly enough, it may happen. Thank you very much. Gentlemen, at present, there are no further questions. If there are no further questions, I'd like to thank all the participants. And, well, let's meet again in 6 months. When we comment on the figures for 2019 and 2020. Thank you very much and have a nice evening.